for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 592 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a very special guest in Jorge Molina, who is an illustrator and concept artist who is a creative force in the comics industry. He's crowdfunding an exclusive hardcover art book called Zerto, The Art of Jorge Molina on Zoop.gg. This book will feature Jorge's favorite artwork from his 15 years as an artist in the comic book industry, as well as the video game industry. We discussed this campaign, which hit its goal in just 5 hours, his career as an artist, and what we can expect from him in the future. Be sure to support his campaign as soon as you finish listening to our fun conversation. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Jorge Molina has been a creative force in the comic book and video game industries for the past 15 years. After being an exclusive artist for Marvel for 8 years, he has made numerous contributions as an artist, designer, and creator on titles including Star Wars, Spider-Man, Thor, Avengers, and the X-Men. Recently, Jorge made his debut on DC Comics as Batman's main artist, working not only on interior and cover art, but also designing new characters and suits for the iconic run on The Dark Knight. That doesn't even get into the video game stuff. So how you doing, Jorge?
Good, yeah. Glad to be here.
It's good to talk with you, as we were talking about just before we started to record. Your Zoop.gg crowdfunding thing is doing superbly as we're recording this. As we're talking, you are just over $19,000 when you were aiming for 10. So let's hope you're going to get that double number before too long.
Yeah, that little bit of stretch just to double those numbers and make all the OCD people happy.
Well, it's as we're recording this, it looks like it's going to end on about the 16th. So there's no time to wait. You got to get in there and support Jorge, because he's got a great book called Zerto, The Art of Jorge Molina. And I was listening to a couple of interviews that you've done in preparation for this, and everybody always asks, and so I guess I have to fall in line and do it too. Zerto, what does Zerto mean?
Zerto is lefty in Spanish. It's a nickname that I have from close friends here. And I mean, the intention behind the nickname, I guess, was growing up. It was always surrounded by somewhat stories from my mother growing up and telling me how on her days, left-handed people were seen as evil or there was something wrong with them, so kids will be forced to use their right hand at school. Sometimes they will tie their hands on the back. And I always thought that those stories sounded crazy, and I was fortunate enough to be able to use my left hand freely and thankfully be able to express and draw all the characters and stuff that I always loved as a kid. So to me, it's just like embracing that left side, and that's why I decided to name the book Zerto.
That's funny, because left-handed people tend to be more creative, it seems to me.
Yeah, we have a good company on that list from what I've heard.
Well, I have to tell you a quick story about where I worked at one place. I was working in a hospital, and the secretary for one of the vice presidents, she was left-handed too. And she had this one little sign on her desk. And you know how when left-handed people try to write like as if they're right-handed, they turn their arm funny and try to make it so it looks like it's a right-handed thing? And she had that little drawing on her there, and it says, "Hire the left-handed. It's fun to watch them write."
Yeah, I remember that people were always curious about the way I used to hold my pencil. And to me, it was just like, I don't see I'm doing anything different than anybody else. But apparently for other people, when they watch me, it looks odd. But I never understood it. Till this day, I think I hold my pencil just the regular way. But it seems I'm in the minority, I guess.
Well, you know what? It's everybody gets to do what makes them the most creative in this world. And so I think that you're doing the right thing. Whatever it is that makes your art as beautiful as it is. And believe me, I particularly love some of the artwork in this. It's just going to be so beautiful. If you go, by the way, let's tell people. People say I don't say this soon enough, so I'm going to jump right in. At zoop.gg/C#Zurdo, Z as in zebra, URDO. And that's where you'll get to see the page. And there are samples of some of the artwork that's going to be in it. And there's all kinds of, I'm a Batman guy, so I have to point out the Batman ones. That one cover with Batman in the armor, is that from that Dark Knights of Steel? Is that one of those covers?
Yes, that's the one. I did two covers for Dark Knights of Steel, and I love doing those covers just because I'm a sucker for anything fantasy, and I'm a sucker for Batman. So you put both two together, and it's a dream for me.
And then there's another piece of artwork where it looks like you're drawing all the people from Batman Incorporated. Is that what that is?
Yes, that one was a lot of fun. It took a long time. Thankfully, my editor was very patient with me on that one. But that one, I did it traditionally first on the doing black and whites with inks and Copics and watercolors. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, that one. I love doing all the Batman ink guys.
And from what I understand, you're a Batman fan yourself.
Extremely. I think that's my favorite superhero comic book related character. I mean, I always get asked, it's like, is there a character left or another character that you would like to, you know, draw at some point in your career? And to me, it's just Batman. Like, I don't want to ever stop doing Batman. Like, I love the possibilities, the endless possibilities with Batman that you have, and there's so much range and so much character with him, and so many angles to play around with the lighting, because he's such a demanding character that you can play around with a lot of contrast that I just can't get enough of him. So,
well, you did a Batman from another universe and your full body examples, and that's Owlman. Who I really like. Is that the Owlman from that animated movie, or is that from the comics?
I think that one was a mix of both. I remember that was a commission that somebody requested, I think at New York Comic Con. And I always like to play around when I'm doing commission work, just to have fun, and instead of just copying exactly a design, I like to do my own interpretations. So I think for that one, it was just like something that I wanted to try and mix the both concepts and see what happened.
That animated movie, James Woods was the voice of Owlman, and he was just terrible. He was a horror. that guy, I'll never forget that. That was such a that was one of the greatest animated movies I've ever seen. That one, just, it was Crisis on Tours, if I remember correctly. It was really, really good.
Yeah, Batman has a very good track record on animation.
Oh, he's, oh yeah. Don't get me started. Kevin Conroy. Whenever I read comics, I hear his voice speaking Batman's dialogue.
Yes.
Even after he's passed, I still get that, and I just love that. I just think it's such great stuff.
He's iconic.
That's just great stuff. So, okay, now as I listened to some of the other interviews you were doing, there's some stuff that I was really intrigued in. I wanted to ask you some stuff about. You went to school to study animation.
Yes.
But animation. You didn't, after you got into it, you kind of discovered that really wasn't what you wanted to do. And you ended up going off into comics, which is kind of an interesting thing. Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience? Because I think that's interesting how people, you think you go to college and you know what you want to do, and suddenly you discover, whoops, that isn't quite what I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's kind of funny. Like, I'm from Mexico. I live here, and I grew up all my life here. And we don't have, or we didn't have at that time. It was like, what, 15 years ago, almost 18 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have at that time those opportunities to study anything related to like comic books or animation. Like, I think the closest thing to it was doing graphic design. And I just never thought that doing this type of work was going to be within my realm of possibilities. So I just wanted to do something similar to drawing. And I applied to a university here for graphic design. And I was about to enter and start my career, and some of the paperwork where something didn't work on the paperwork, and I had to wait an additional semester to start. And that's when my wise mother had the brilliant idea, and she says, like, why don't you do something more related to the stuff that you really feel passionate about? And I was like, well, what do you mean, Mom? Like, you want me to study doing comic books? And she was like, yeah, you should do that. And, I mean, even today when I think about it, it's just like my mom had this vision, and she knew what I needed to do even before I knew it. It's usually the other way around when you hear other artist stories. It's like, it's usually the kid that wants to do the crazy thing and the mother or the parent that tells them, hey, you got to be a lawyer first, do the safe thing, and then you do the crazy thing. But for me, it was my mom that pushed me. And she told me, like, all right, I got interviews. We're going to Canada. We're going to Sheridan. We're going to Seneca. And we're going to the Qbert school. And we got interviews lined up everywhere. And I was like, well, I mean, this is too much. Like, I don't want to leave. Like, I'm happy here in Mexico. I don't want to go anywhere. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I'll make a trip out of this. It should be fun. I didn't expect it to, like, fall in love with it or be like, okay, this is where I belong and I want to be here. But after just going around doing those interviews, I don't know, like, it was mixed feelings, because it's some part of me, I knew that I had to do it, and it was the right place for me to be. Even though it was animation, and I was always in love with comics before animation, but I thought it's like, hey, this gets me the foot in the door. Like, this has something to do with the stuff that I like. And from then, I just did animation for 4 years, and that's when I completely realized that I love comics, and animation was not for me, just for the fact that there's so much work going on with animation. There's so many drawings that you have to put in order to get just 1 second of animation. And it was like, I like taking my time. I like, you know, putting a lot more detail and effort onto my drawings. And I think comic books is the way to go to do that. So I just started focusing on that. And from then, one of my teachers was one of the editors at Udon Comics back in the day. And from then, we just clicked, and he liked my work, and we started working together from that, and it just started to snowball into all these other gigs, and yeah, I'm here.
That's just amazing, because, you know, you're right. Although moms are pretty wise, I have to say, if you're going to let people do, you know, they can tell what makes you happy, because they observe you, and I'm sure she saw that the comics makes you happy, and you got a chance to actually go in there and make them. See, you've crossed that line that I can't cross. I can't create. I can tell you what's a great comic. I can tell you what's beautiful art. But do it, I can't do it. All I can do is tell you, you make wonderful artwork. And I mean that sincerely. But as far as me, you know, doing this stuff, not going to happen. I can just admire it. But I can't make that line cross. So I'm happy that you can, because, boy, the world's a better place because of your artwork, believe me.
Thank you.
Just wonderful stuff. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the book, because I think there's some stuff that people should know about. This is an art book, and it's got a lot of pages. Now, as I was listening, you tend to like to draw covers as opposed to, like, sequential art inside of a comic. Is that right?
Yeah, that's totally right. To me, doing interior work was like, again, I always started to see it as baby steps in order to get to the goal that I wanted to do. So it was pretty similar to why I switched to comics from animation. It's just like, I felt comics was more aimed towards what I was good at. And when I started doing interiors, I was like, you know what? There's not enough time for me to do the drawings that I want to do, like I really want to do. Like, when you do an interiors, you can't do your colors. And I always miss that because I love coloring just as much as I love drawing. So I did my duty of just building my name and my reputation as an interior artist just to get, you know, in enough clout, I guess, in order to be a cover artist. And for the last couple of years, I've just been wanting to focus mainly on that. I mean, I try to pick doing interior stuff only when it's something that I feel very passionate about. I don't feel I'm a good interior artist just because I'm very slow and I like to take my time. So I just think I'm happier doing covers, and I think my covers look better than my interiors. So that's why I just decided to make the switch, and I'm happy there, to be honest.
I'll have to tell you, I'm glad you're doing that because your covers sparkle. I mean, they just, you know, now I've often asked cover artists this, and I'm curious to ask you about too. Just because you do a cover doesn't mean that you're not a storyteller. Because sometimes that one image can tell a whole story just in that image that you've done there. Do you find that's true when you're making a cover and stuff like that? Do you put together like a story in your mind and you tell that story in your cover?
I couldn't agree more. That's totally how I feel about it. It's like you get one chance to transmit something to the audience. And especially if you're in a comic book shop and you're competing with a panel of other 100 comic books, you know, you want your cover to be the one that catches the eye. And you do that by telling a story and by having a nice art with nice composition and making sure everything pops in the right ways. Sometimes it's about creating a story. Sometimes the editor will tell you, hey, this is a story, this is what's going behind it. And sometimes I just go more for a feeling, like what I want the audience when they run into my cover to feel like, to be attracted to, you know, especially for Batman. Like, to me, Batman should always be this imposing character. It should make you feel something. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's about channeling that feeling into the image and be able to do that feeling, speak to the audience also. And whatever that feeling is, like, it might be a different feeling to you than it is for me. But I think powerful image, especially in comics, should demand some type of attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, example is the Dark Knight image that you've got on the previews. Again, if you go to the page and you go down, you'll see a preview section that has the artwork that I just love. That Batman one, there's like a dragon coming up behind him, and there's arrows already in his shield, and he's holding up a sword. So there's a lot that's already happened before this image even appears before us. And he's still in danger because of the dragon behind him with his eyes on fire and stuff like that. So right away, we're dropped in the middle of this, what looks to be the story. He's been fighting archers, and he's still got lots to deal with in this whole thing. And that just is such a great cover. It's a great example to me of what attracts people and the covers and stuff like that. So I just think that is a beautiful cover.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that one from the editor, it was like, I just want Batman with a shield, with arrows, and the dragon. And I was like, all right, how can we make this work and have something cool and interesting? So that one was one of my most popular and one of my favorite covers, honestly. And I think it's because of that, because, I mean, you get a story right away when you're looking at it.
It's amazing. And I always say that covers will attract people into the book, but what makes people come back to a book often is the story. Does the story make sense, and does it work, you know, really well as far as that goes? But you got to have a good cover, or good luck, you know, getting people's attention. You've got a whole stand full of covers competing with yours, and you have got to make sure that one, you know, works as far as getting people's attention. And I just think that yours, as great as it would be to have you do the interior art, I think that your talent is better spent on covers and getting people's attention.
Thank you. I'll send this clip to my editors so they give me more cover work.
Yeah, well, believe me, it's just the stuff that you do is amazing. Now, the book is 120 pages. And yes. You can get them signed by you, is my understanding. If you pay a certain amount, you get them signed by you.
Yeah, we have different tiers. I mean, we have the tiers where you can get a sketch done by me. We have a torso and a full body. I mean, those were the ones that sold out the quickest because I don't usually open commissions because it takes me a long time to do them. So this was like a special treat just for the book. And from then we have another package where you get some signatures from me. And I think we have remarks. And if I'm not mistaken, there's also some complimentary comic books for me that from my collection that you can also get from there.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, Chris, the thing we didn't mention that deserves to be mentioned is that you hit your $10,000 goal in 5 hours. 5 hours. You know how many people would like to get that? That is, there's a lot of people out there that would love to have gotten that, get their goal in 5 hours if they get it at all. But I think that that says something to, you know, your fan base is out there ready to support you. And I think that's a great thing. I have to ask, the cover is this interesting picture of what looks like, is that a boy in a cap, and there's cats and snakes and birds. Is that like a male witch? What's going on with that?
Yes, exactly. It's like we call it here in Mexico brujo, which is kind of like a wizard, like a male wizard or a shaman. And I mean, the idea was to channel that idea from my past where left-handed people were seen as mysterious and evil and witchery, you know. So it was trying to play around with that and how would that look from a character standpoint. And so I decided just to add all these dark references from witches and evil stuff. So you have snakes and all frogs and crows and all that. So
yeah, all kinds of magic. yeah, it just sparkles. The interesting choice of color, you know, the everything is kind of dark gray, except for the background, which is kind of a dark yellow, which is kind of interesting. I kind of thought that would be more for color, but the choice of color really intrigued me. Why did you choose the color scheme that you did?
I wanted to do something with a lot of contrast, so it stands out. At the same time, I wanted the pencil work to like kind of breathe. If I do a lot of coloring rendering, I think that kills the pencil sometimes. So that's why I decided to go with flat tones and have it simple. I mean, and it's a big different, let's say, a result from the stuff that I'm usually known for, because when I do my covers, it's usually very rendered and with a lot of coloring and mixing. And for this one, I just wanted to do something more graphic. And at the same time, I think I would love the book to have some kind of glossy texture. And I think those textures look better when it's just a single tone and it's easier to manage. So those were kind of like the reasons behind why I decided to do that.
It's interesting because what I understand is your very first work in comics was as a colorist. So I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, like I love coloring just as much as I love drawing, even though I became more recognized as an illustrator for interiors. But my first gig, I mean, my first gig in the big two was for a colorist for a DC book with Batman and Superman. And I loved it. Like I had a blast just doing colors, but at the same time, I always felt that there was something missing, that I could offer more stuff. And that's why I decided to not pursue that career, because I didn't want to be the color guy. I wanted to be the guy that draws. So.
Mm-hmm. But you still like color, I imagine.
I love coloring. Yeah.
Now I've got to ask you something about this, because you've got 120 pages, and you've got 15 years worth of drawings and work that you've done. How did you pick out what stuff is going to be included in the book?
I'm still in the process of figuring that out. unfortunately, I lost a lot of original scans, so right now what I'm doing is just gathering all my original art from the people who've been kind enough to purchase from me, and just trying to make the list and try to narrow it down, because I got over 500 images waiting for me to be sorted through. So I've been doing that on the nights, and it's been a daunting task just because there's so much, and at the same time there's not enough stuff that I feel very proud of. Which, see, I know it sounds ridiculous, but
it does to me. I have to be honest with you, but I have to. It's also true that people who work on comics spend a lot of time alone, and you never know until you actually put it in front of somebody if other people are going to like it or not.
Yes,
it's so funny to me how people have to do this. Now, I've interviewed, like, for example, Scott Snyder. And when I interviewed him, because I'd done a lot of research talking with him, of course, he wrote Batman, and then Greg Capullo drew it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time.
Oh, the gold standard in my mind. And I interviewed him, and you know, I tend not to ask gotcha questions. I always want to say, particularly if I like somebody's stuff, is how much I like it. And we got done the interview, and he said to me afterwards, he says, I'm going to give you my email address. Don't give it to anybody, but I want you to, every time I write a Batman book, I want you to send me an email and tell me what you thought of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I thought, what? Okay. So I agreed to that. And of course, I never to this day have given out his email address to anybody, but I started to write them to him, most of the time, I never got a response from him. I didn't want one. He's busy. Let him do the writing, because that's the good stuff. And but I saw him a couple of years later in Baltimore at Baltimore Comic Con, and he recognized who I was. And he said, "Oh," he says, "you've been sending me all those emails." I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm having trouble, you know, finding words instead of wonderful and fantastic and amazing every time." He says, "You know, I'm not having trouble reading your emails." He goes. Because, you know, I was very supportive of everything that he was doing, pointing out exactly what it was I liked about the books and stuff like that. So now if I see him at a con, I kind of, off in the distance, I see a catch his eye, and I just sort of wave at him and he waves back, and that's about all we do.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a cool story.
He's so busy, you know, and stuff. Now he's got off doing his own individual stuff, and so I don't want to take up his time, because, again, let him create.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's, you know, but again, I think he and other creators, because they spend time alone, they're always uncertain. Are people going to like what I'm doing? And, you know, he wrote this story where he kind of retold part of Batman's origin, and he couldn't sleep for a week, I read. And I wrote to him, and I said, "Well, boy, you should have been sleeping, because, man, it's great. You know, it's terrific." He said, "All these people said that, and I didn't know what to think about how it was going to go over." And to, like with your art and stuff too, it's easy when it's your stuff to be really critical of it. And you can see the little flaws that I wish I had done that little thing better, and I wish that had been better. But to the rest of us, we could look at it and go, wow. So, you know, all I can tell you is that the artwork, like that cover, that just sparkles to me. The interesting thing to me too is that they're looking to the side instead of at us. Which is, I find so interesting. That all these things kind of speak to me, and I just kind of go and I think I love to ask questions, which is why I do this podcast, because I love to get my questions answered. So I got to ask, on that cover, why are they looking to the side?
Well, originally I wanted to everything read to the left side, just because, you know, being left in Azure, and I always wanted the whole direction to be looking to the left. But at the end of it, I was like, to me, it's just something odd when you see a book and the characters are looking to the left, just because we are used to reading from left to right.
Right.
And our eyes have that automatic motion of like going from left to right, left to right, left to right. And even when I do comic books and panels, like all my actions, I tend to do them from left to right, just to keep that rhythm from the eyes motion. So at the end, I decided just to flip it, just because I thought it was better in a composition sense, even though it's just pretty much the same, I guess. But to me, it was just like this little thing that it had to be from the other side. So it started as a concept, but at the end, I decided to, my OCD to take over, I guess.
Well, I got to ask you, of course, I'm so used to these covers and stuff where they look at us you know, the people reading. I'm just sort of curious as why did you decide not to have the character look at us?
Just because of the same reason. I wanted this to be different from my comic book stuff. Usually when the character looks at you, I think it's because you're familiar with the character and you want the character to speak to you. You want the first thing to be is that Spider-Man, that Batman. And it's easier to connect with that character if the character's looking at you. And I didn't want that for this image. I wanted the whole thing to speak just as a composition and as a shape.
And cool.
Once you read that big shape from afar, it's like, okay, what's this? And then you see all the elements that it has. But I wanted to speak as a whole instead of just the character, I guess.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing I'm wondering, what are they looking at? What's off panel? What are they all? Because the birds are looking at it. Now, the only thing that's not looking at it is the cat. And of course, the cat's getting stroked by the. Yeah, but all the rest of them are looking off panel, and I'm going, what is over there that has got their attention?
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it, but I guess I'll leave that to everybody's interpretation. It's more fun when everybody picks the meaning instead of me giving the meaning to everybody.
See, it's interesting to me because like that Batman image, he's looking at us.
Yeah,
you know, totally. In that Batman image, and on the other ones, and of course, all those Batman characters, they're all looking at us at that. So that, of course, I see that, and that makes that image even more interesting because it's not that way. So I love stuff like that. Things like that just, the artwork is so, it's an amazing thing to look at and to, you know, the more I look at it, the more I have questions, the more I want to know stuff about it and stuff. Which leads me to ask you a question, though, because a lot of times artists consider themselves writers as well. Do you consider yourself, is one of your ambitions maybe to like to write a story as well as to draw it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a writer by any stretch of the imagination, but I am testing those waters. Currently, I've been working on a personal project of mine for over a 1 year right now. And I mean, I've been having a lot of fun just like coming up with the stories and trying to find, you know, the source and the soul of the story and the characters. That's an interesting and a different approach to like when creating something visual. It gives you more content, it gives you more tools when you put that work in. So I've been doing that, and I'm also, I did a short Batman story that's supposed to come out, I think, if not next month, maybe in August. Ooh. And it's a Batman black and white. And it's I think, my favorite Batman thing that I've ever done.
Really?
Like I mentioned, like I don't do interiors that often, but this opportunity came in. The editors asked me, it's like, you want to do a Batman black and white? And I was like, of course, like I love Batman black and white. To me, Batman should always be black and white. And when I started with DC a couple of, I think, 2 or 3 years back, right before I did my first Batman gig, I had this Batman concept in my head where I'm a big fan of the 80s video games like Castlevania. And I love anime, so Vampire Hunter D. So I had all these ideas, and I thought like it would be cool to have Batman with this type of setting in mind, where he's more of a young vampire-ish kind of guy, more, let's say, refined type of young Batman who is a monster slayer. And I put this whole pitch together. I did like 5 test pages with colors and all that. And I pitched it to my editor at DC, and he liked it, but we were in the middle of doing the Batman book that I was supposed to do with the writers I had. And he was like, let's hold on to that and let's do the Batman book because, I mean, that's what we pay you for. And I was like, yeah, sure. So we put a pin on that, and I did my Batman run and I finished that. And it was up to the time that they asked me about Batman black and white, and they were like, do you have a story or some writer that you would like to work on? And I was like, do you remember that pitch that I sent you?
Funny you should ask that.
And I sent the pitch again, and I was like, what do you think if we do this story and I can partner with a writer that you think will fit and will be able to do something with this idea in mind. And they found Jackson Lansing and I can't remember the name of the other guy, but these two writers are amazing. They're from Hivemind, and they helped me just to like take it to the next level. And we had a couple of meetings and we wanted to discuss like what's the heart of the story and what we wanted to tell with it, and kind of like flesh out this Batman world and universe that we were creating, and how can we transmit that into 8 pages to have the audience wanting more when they're done with it. And I think we did a pretty good job. I'm very excited for that story to come out and see what people say, because I just think we created something very fresh, very different from the stuff that you usually see on Batman. It's a little bit out there, but at the same time, I think it's something unique that I think we'll people will enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Oh, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that too, because Batman Black and White gives different creators a chance to go places where Batman hasn't gone before, which I really like. And so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be great fun to see. It's going to be great fun. I'm also curious too as about you listed that you are involved in the video game industry as well as the comics industry. And from my understanding, the last several months you've been busy with video games and creation for that. What is it you're working on that you can talk about? I mean, I know that video game people can't really talk very much about it. Is there stuff? Are you working on a game? Are you creating characters?
Creating characters for a video game. Like I've been working on video games for the past year. Since 2023 started, I started working on a video game. I've never worked with video games through my career, on and off, here and there. And I love it. I mean, it's different experience from comics. It's more creative freedom. You don't have the deadlines on your neck. At the same time, you can't show anything and you can't talk about anything. Sometimes as an artist, you like to like show people and then tell people what you've been working on just to see their reaction. With video games, you can't do that. But what I've been working on, just been doing characters for the Perfect Dark video game. It's been in development for some time right now. I was there when they first started back in 2018, and I'm just happy that the game is still in development, and I think we're doing something very unique, and I'm just having a lot of fun just doing all these characters. So, yeah, that's all I can say, I guess.
Very cool. Well, you've got one foot in each universe, it seems like, one in the comics and another one in the video games. And it sounds like both of them are working really well. So, you know, that's great that you can do both.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I always see comics as my childhood passion. Like, I love comics as a kid and growing up. Video games are my obsession and my passion as an adult. Like, I love video games so much on my free time. That's all I do. So to me, being able to tap into both industries, it's just a dream come true, because I don't know, I get all my creative juices out by doing all this work, and you know, I mean, I'm doing Batman. Like, I love doing Batman, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm doing characters for a video game that I love too. So I'm a happy loner on my desk.
And that's good for us, because we get to experience the stuff that you're working on, because when you enjoy it, I think that we're going to enjoy it even more.
Yes, that's my motto. As long as I feel passionate about what I do, I hope people can connect with that same passion. So, yes.
Now, I heard you tell a story that I thought is worth repeating about George Lucas and Star Wars. You were doing some Star Wars artwork for a while. And then, you know, at first, my understanding was that George Lucas only wanted part of the artwork. And then suddenly the word came down, he wants all the pages you had done. That's a high compliment, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, it was not George Lucas directly, of course. It was his people representing George Lucas, I guess. But
they're not going to do anything that George doesn't approve of. I'm sorry. That, you know.
It was a pretty cool experience because Marvel offered me to do the Star Wars. It was, I think, 4 or 5 issues with Jason Aaron for an elite stormtrooper squad. And I got to do some stories with Luke, Leia, and Han Solo, Chewbacca, and all the cool guys. And I remember that everything that I did, all the pages, will have to go through a filter with the Lucas people first. Mm-hmm. And I remember they made me this sign, a form where I had to offer all the art that I did for Star Wars to them first. I couldn't sell anything without them looking at it first. And they were very picky. Like, I remember there was a couple of notes here and there, like all the stuff that I had to, like, you know, be referenced and keep consistent with the Star Wars universe. It was a great experience, but it was quite demanding with the with all the revisions and all that. And I was like, wow, like, what did I get myself into? But at the end, I mean, it was just great. Like, when they told me, it's like, you know what, George is opening this museum, I think, or he's going to open a museum at some point, and he wants all the artwork just to, like, have it as potential material for the museum. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, he must have it somewhere around, I think, Lucas Ranch, I hope.
See, I got to tell you a quick story, because I've actually been to that ranch.
Really? Wow.
This guy that I know actually works for George Lucas. And I was out there in California, and I flew up to near where it was. And he wanted to know if I wanted to go to Skywalker Ranch. And I said, you're crazy, right? Of course I want to go to Skywalker Ranch. I went in. They had this building where Lucas's offices are on the second floor. And the first floor is every publication that ever had been published with Star Wars in it. It's like a library, in case Lucas wanted to see stuff. And I was just like, and the funniest thing was when my friend went to the restroom, I had to stand outside the restroom. I was not allowed to go wandering through the building. I had to stand out there so that all this kind of, and I just, I imagine your stuff is in that same place where all those great, all those Star Wars things that ever were, are sitting, and Mr. Lucas just every once in a while goes down, I'm sure, and just peruses what's down there. And that's great that you've got stuff very likely in that same place, or maybe he's building a whole new building with that in there. Who knows?
Now I need your friend's number now.
That was so funny. When I went there, I was just like, I was mortified. I mean, you know, I don't want to do anything wrong, get my friend in trouble or anything like that. So it was, when we went to that library, all I could do was just look around and see all this, you know, and this was just several years ago. So imagine how much bigger it is now. Maybe that's why he's building a new building or something.
That's amazing. Wow.
It was astounding. And the funniest thing was they sold shirts there that said Skywalker Ranch on them. And so I bought one of them, and I took it back to me, and I was working at a newspaper, and there's one guy who is a much bigger Star Wars fan than I ever was. And I went to work one day wearing my Skywalker Ranch shirt. And the guy comes running up to me. He says, "I hate you." He goes, and he turns around and leaves me. he wanted the Skywalker Ranch shirt just like I had, so that's kind of fun. So you're in a very rare climate there when it comes to George Lucas and Star Wars, but I don't think many people can claim those wonderful things, and I think that's just another sign of how great I think your artwork really is.
Oh yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, that was a totally fanboy moment when they told me that they wanted all the artwork.
So as far as, of course, the book is going, and again, it's going to be, I think the 16th is when of June, it's going to conclude the Zoop. Do you, if this goes over big enough, do you think there might be Zerdo 2 coming?
I think I'm just like taking it step by step, baby steps, just to think and like see how everything comes together. But I mean, if this is a success and people still want more. I love doing this type of stuff, or just having all the stuff and doing the covers and having a nice book to look at. I'm a sucker for collecting art books, so in any way I can contribute to that passion, I'm happy to.
Well, I think by the time this posts, hopefully you'll hit that $20,000, you know, twice as much as you are asking for goal. And I have a feeling Zerdo 2 is a very likely thing.
As far fingers as crossed. Go.
I think it's just great. And Jorge, your artwork just, like I said, I'm going to be looking at that cover, trying to figure out what it is they're looking at off the camera, off panel there. And I'm going to enjoy it. But your Batman stuff, just, you know, and I'm a long time Batman guy. So I just love that stuff. So there's just,
yeah, I mean, you talked with Snyder, so you know your Batman stuff.
I just, it's just such great stuff. And I hope you get to do whatever you want to do. We'll get to enjoy it when it comes out and, for public consumption, because it's going to be great. And Jorge, just keep up the wonderful stuff. And man, I hope that you get to do more things with Zoop and we get to enjoy them in the future. So keep it up.
All right. Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.